Ruby Orozco Santos has been hard at work on a project centered on the practice of nixtamalization in the borderland. Nixtamal is corn flour or dough that has been soaked and cooked in an alkaline solution, which is used for making corn tortillas, tamales, and several Latin American dishes. She then used that research as the inspiration for a new book of poems called Inventos Míos, which she will release on Wednesday, August 15th at the Centennial Museum at UTEP. Here to tell us about her adventures in poetry and Nixtamal is Ruby Orozco Santos. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you, Marina.
So where the interest of Nixtamal, which, by the way, it just seems like, duh, to somebody who lives here, right?
Yeah.
Like that we need to explain what it is, but we do.
Yes, yes. So Nixtamal, I think your description was so succinct. It's an indigenous technology that was developed thousands of years ago. It's the process of cooking dried corn kernels in a solution of water and something that makes the water alkaline. So it might be limestone. I've read that the Olmecs used grated oyster shells. In the region where I'm from in Mexico, people use tequesquite. It's a type of mineral. So in the U.S. Southwest, juniper ash. So depending on the region, people use different things. And what this does to the corn is that it makes it easier to grind. It softens it. It releases the pericarp, which is like the peel off of each kernel. But most importantly, nutritionally speaking, it makes corn more nutritious. It creates more niacin availability. And so if corn is your only grain, you need to nixtamalize it. Otherwise, you'll get sick from niacin deficiency. And this illness, it's called pellagra, and it can be deadly. And so when the Spanish first took corn to Europe,
they forgot about the limestone.
They didn't ask, how do you prepare this?
They're like, thank you for the corn, bye.
And so for 200 years, there were outbreaks of this deadly illness, a kind of wasting illness in all the parts that they introduced it, North Africa, even the southwestern United States, because it came back in through Europe without that knowledge, without that system. And so for 200 years, people were getting sick. And then realizing, well, why don't Mexican people and indigenous people get sick? They've been eating this, right? So it's really an ancient tradition. And I've had an interest in it because my family in Mexico on my dad's side has a tortilleria. So when we would go to my dad's village, we'd stay in the house that had the tortilleria attached to it. And I grew up seeing the process for a commercial level, you know, nixtamalization. So that memory is very fresh to me. And when I was here in El Paso, I was excited that local tortillerias still nixtamalize some of them.
Yes.
I've been doing research to see which ones do. And then I've met a lady that also makes her own nixtamal at home. And so that was my inspiration to propose this new body of work to MCAD last year.
Oh, right, because this is part of the artist incubator program.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
And how does it work? Did you go to them and say, I want to study corn?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I wrote a proposal. I said, you know, I'd like to interview home practitioners. I'd like to visit local tortillerias and use this as inspiration for some new poems. And they went for it. So it was really great. I was able to find several home practitioners, culture bearers of this tradition, and shadow them. I brought a friend along, Victoria Quevedo. She took photographs of the interview, so the book also contains some of her pictures. And then the artists Los Dos, Cristian Cárdenas and Ramon Cárdenas, came out to one of the interviews as well, and they worked on the cover art and some glyphs for the inside of the book. So it's a really wonderful project. I'm so proud of it.
Should we hear one of your poems from your book?
Sure. The one that I'm reading is named Celsa, after one of the ladies that I interviewed.
Let's hear it.
Celsa. Her youngest grandson is known as Pollito. He sunbathes in mother's chest as Celsa shares her backyard with four young strangers. There are plants here, too. Aquí también el patio, bien regado. Fig tree, aloe. Aquí también hay un esposo pendiente. He brought a log from Mexico to build her mill stand, custom cut small square to fit its permanent bite. Custom measured it for this matriarch's height. In this household, they know pilgrimage. By December 8th, at the Festival de la Purísima Concepción in El Sape, Durango, Grandmother Celsa is already praying. She returns every year with a costal of corn. It is an heirloom corn. I ask, what is it called? How do you ask for it at the market? Just corn, she replies, confused. It is the corn, her land's main corn. Oblong in shape, humble in size, color of sand in sun. Kernels blush in purple here and there from all the times it was talked to, sweetly sang to. Escucha, escucha la canción de mi corazón. Escucha, escucha la canción de mi corazón. Nunca te olvidaré, nunca te abandonaré, nunca te olvidaré, nunca te abandonaré. This corn is brought back across the border whole, dried kernels in their cob, like lotus baby, kept attached to its placenta. Here, her children and their children scrape, scratch, rasp, scrape, scratch, rasp, scrape, scratch, rasp, cob against cob, until all kernels fall free. On December 20th, she will prep the nixtamal. She will tell Pollito's mom and all the others who gather at her watered lawn in northeast El Paso. They will make the time to be there, because the corn will need grinding. Here, source of life and source of life unite. Mother and corn. Our mother's corn. Our mother, corn.
You just heard Celsa from Ruby Orozco Santos's new book called Inventos Míos, which she is going to be releasing on Wednesday, August 15th, all through the research of nixtamalization.
Yes.
So aside from Celsa, will you tell us about some more of the women or practitioners that you met in your adventures in nixtamal?
Yes. Well, in fact, when I was writing the proposal, my initial thought was to visit tortillerias, period. But in some of the community work that I do around ancestral health traditions, I was at a meeting and a lady came in late and she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry I'm late. I was making the nixtamal." And so I fell over.
scratches.
I said, okay, I need to add home practitioners to this proposal. So she's one of the ones I interviewed, Tomasa in the Chamizal neighborhood. Some things that I noticed, some patterns that I saw, like the tools, you know, usually they'll have the metal mill that attaches to a table, and most times they have that table outside. It's the mill table.
Like, it's
that's
just
its
there.
Job. Yeah. Everybody respects it. And oftentimes there's ingenious, like Jales Chicanos, you
of
know,
course.
Like the husbands make it so that it's just right for that home practitioner. It's the right height. It's the right location. So there's a lot of community love that goes into this practice, you know, and then people come and grind
Were
with their mom or grandma.
That so many people are still doing it. My mom sends us to Lupita's to go buy the masa when it's time.
Yes.
And our job is to stand in that long line to get the nixtamal. But I don't think I've ever seen her go through the process ever.
Yes.
The process is go stand in line.
Yeah, that's also a very classic El Paso experience.
Yeah.
I saw some of those lines while I was doing this research around Christmas time. But yeah, I was surprised and I was excited that I put out a call on social media saying I'm looking for home practitioners. And the people that were responding were like, well, what's the big deal? My mom does this
Every day, all the time.
And that's exciting to me because that means it's a really thriving tradition.
Do you do
that
it?
Is, I haven't. No, I'm going to have to.
Well, now, yeah. I mean, you're kind of the expert. Got to walk the talk.
Yes, I mean, I helped grind in these interviews, but I haven't made my own nixtamal. Last Christmas, I made my own tamales for the first time with masa that I already bought, but I mixed in the fat. I made the tamales from there. But so that was a big deal.
It is a big deal, for sure.
Yes. I remember after I made all the fillings, they were ready to go, and it was time to spread the dough. I went and showered and like got into nice clothes because I thought, this is important.
It's a ritual.
Yes.
And then commercial-wise, what did you find? Are they all doing it the same? What's the difference? Because I imagine everybody has their nuances. I mean, there's a reason you have your preferred tortilla, right?
Absolutely. Even the home practitioners, they all have their own system. Some people will boil the corn in water for 5 minutes and then let it sit all night. Some people will boil it for several hours. So it depends who you ask, and they learned it from their own family members, mothers, grandmothers. So sometimes you can tell the difference between tortillerias even. Like some might rinse their nixtamal a little more, a little less, so it might taste a little bit more limestone-y.
Yeah.
It's great research.
So how many tortillas did you eat? How did that work? What was your carb intake?
I loved it. My itinerary was driving around town and finding tortillas. Yeah, and reading ingredient labels. There's the poem I wrote about just all the different ways the ingredients are listed. And it's the same thing, but again, it's slightly worded different. So even that I found really poetic, yeah.
Now, what's one thing that you thought you knew or something that you weren't expecting to learn through this process?
You know, I was thinking about the beauty of the tradition and how we're so connected to corn. And doing this work and doing the research for the work, the historical reality that the process of nixtamalization, for example, wasn't valued, wasn't taken to Europe, right? That indigenous knowledge wasn't valued, that indigenous women are still not valued, right? There's still a war, it feels like, against the indigenous people of Mexico and of the Americas, the earth, the resources, like all those themes come through because some of these culture bearers, they might be experiencing the harsh realities of our current social systems. You know, they might have fear of deportation. They might have always a looming threat, some kind of threat to that livelihood of and that space where they can be creative and make this beauty. It always feels like it's under attack. So that was something that was unexpected that I found as I read through the research and met some of the women and learned the stories and saw their knowledge, but also the realities that they're confronting every day.
Yeah, and to kind of like what you said at the beginning, to just see the surface, right? All they saw was the corn, but they mm-hmm. didn't see the woman, they didn't see the process, they didn't see how you got the end product.
Yes.
So what can we expect at your release? You're going to have it on Wednesday the 15th at UTEP.
Yes, it's from 5:30 to 7. We'll have a small reception right before the reading. So I'll have a nice little spread of nixtamalized foods for you to sample.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on an interactive table where you can touch and experience corn at different stages of the nixtamalization process. And then I'll read. And I'm considering to give a certain number of books out to the first certain number of people that come in. So,
well, we're excited mm-hmm. for you. Congratulations on the whole thing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing your project with us. Today, my guest has been Ruby Orozco Santos, who has created a book of poems called Inventos Míos. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you so much.